Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of The Chinwag with me, Tofty, and Woody.
Hello, I'm here as well.
And we have a lovely guest with us today. We have Lizzie Venn.
Hello, everybody.
So, Lizzie, to start off with, do you want to tell us a bit about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, sure. So I've been at Widcombe for just over a year now, and I live just down the road with Wadrinan, and I work part-time in a shop, although I'm on furlough at the minute, and I'm also working on a very exciting church communications project, which you may have seen on the notice board and perhaps on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, or I've got some emails from me.
And what did you do at uni? Because obviously it's quite relevant to being able to do this role.
Yes, I studied graphic communication, which was sort of graphic design mixed with illustration and visual communication.
Because there's like so much that goes into that. I'm living with Lizzie at the moment and I've seen all her fancy like editing websites and things. It's really cool that you get to use your degree to work for church, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really exciting actually. I'm really thankful that this opportunity came up and that Ross thought to ask me for it. So yeah, really thankful.
So what's everyone been up to this week?
Well, given that it's only been 4 or 5 days since we recorded our last one. Not too much, but we did move some chairs. We're finally back on the old chair moving department. One's upper body strength seems to have deteriorated over the Christmas period, so it's perhaps harder than it needed to be. But give us a few weeks, we'll be packing the muscle. Lizzie, you look very doubtful there.
Right. I was thinking, what is chair moving? Why did it stop and why is it reconvened?
Ah, just because we were gone for Christmas and now we're back and we need to move all the chairs in the hall for church.
Gotcha.
There is method to the madness.
Oh yeah, me and Susanna have found a love for crumpets with cheese on, which actually I tried for the first time at Adam and Kitty's house. Saw some crumpets in the Waitrose, what's it called, reduced section, bought them home and we've been having them every day since.
Mm-hmm. Oh. With some nice chutney by Tom Skinner as well. Is it Tom Skinner?
Oh yeah. 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 So thank you, Tom, if you're listening. Delicious chutney.
Have you had that, Adam, before?
I've not had cheese on crumpets, but Vinny introduced me to crumpets with chocolate spread and butter after church, which is amazing.
I don't know
amazing.
If I'm a fan of that or not.
Oh, honestly, it's brilliant. The chocolate melts. Oh, no, sorry, not chocolate. Chocolate spread. Chocolate spread melts. It gets into all the nooks and crannies of the crumpet. Oh, my, I can't even. It's amazing. But yeah. Cheese on crumpets, no. But I did go to the fine cheese company during the week to pick up some more cheese. Got myself on it's a Spanish cheese called Belvion, and I probably butchered the pronunciation, but it's a soft blue cheese, and oh my days, it's delicious. It just, one mouthful, it just takes over your mouth. The flavour is so intense, and I could go on about this cheese for a while. We are not sponsored by the fine cheese company.
Adam, how old were you when you first tried blue cheese?
I was 22. It was for Christmas. I may have said this during one of the other podcasts, but I bought this cheese for my dad. And then when I got COVID, I couldn't get it to him. So I was like, well, I've got to eat the cheese myself now. And I had it, and my eyes were opened. It now means that factory cheese from stores is no longer very tasty. So my cheese consumption has become a lot more expensive.
Worth the money.
Me and Lizzie have been watching movies together most nights as well. And you showed me this film. I wonder if anyone else has heard of it. What, Blast from the Past? With Christopher Walken in it. Very, very random story. I'll try and explain it. Or do you want to explain it? You're probably better than me.
It is difficult to explain. It's like no film I've ever seen before. And it's difficult to tell you too much about it without it would give it away. But where was it set in the beginning? What year was it? 1960s?
Yeah.
And it's about a couple who get, they get locked in their fallout shelter. So I actually showed it to Rodrinan at the beginning of lockdown and it sort of rang too true for being locked in, but actually it's a very good film.
Yeah, no, it's very funny.
Introduced Susanna to Monsters University.
Yeah.
Which for somehow she had never seen.
No, I only saw the first one last year. No, it was
what?
So funny. Yeah.
Hold on. My ears must be deceiving me. There's no way. What were your parents doing, Susanna? Like, Monsters University. Monsters, Inc.
Yeah.
That was a childhood film.
But I've always been more of a classic Disney than a Disney Pixar person. So, like, things like The Incredibles, I never really watched. Like, I watched, like, Finding Nemo, but that's about it for the and Up, but that's about it for the Pixar films.
Dear me, I'm just going to need a moment to recover from that shot. Let's just, Lizzie, Monsters University or Monsters, Inc., which one do you prefer?
Oh, how can you choose between them? They're made to be together. Watch them back to back.
Very diplomatic answer.
They are. I think it's, they did really well in that they didn't make the sequel too closely following the original. It wasn't sort of a let's get another film out really quickly to, I don't know, get blockbuster ratings or some money. But they actually took their time and they went back to it, was it 10 years later? And decided we could really do this now. And they put, yeah, so, you can tell they put the effort in.
Yeah.
Is that why you said it's like Mamma Mia? Because it had a 10-year gap after between the sequel.
And because it's a prequel.
And it was a prequel, yeah. So in many ways, it's like Mamma Mia. In many ways, it's not.
That's where the similarities ended.
I appreciate that you didn't provide spoilers on the blast in the past. I need to be careful how I proceed here because I might be slandering my pastor about realising. But there is a sermon Paul Mallard did, I'm pretty sure it's Paul, where he just essentially spoiled the entire plot of The Shawshank Redemption. I was like, Paul, was that necessary? Now, granted, if you've not watched Shawshank Redemption at this point, then like, what are you doing? But I just thought that was not the tactics I would have taken.
Yes, but it's tricky. At what point does a film become so old that you can reference it, assuming that anyone who would have seen it would have seen it by now? Is there a cutoff?
And that's our thought for the day, ladies and gentlemen.
Should we ask Lizzie a bit about the comms project? We were, weren't we?
Yes, we were going to. So, Lizzie, as the comms director, person, overseer,
like, I think I just got permission.
What can I say? Yeah. I have that authority now. What is it you would want the church to know about the comms project? What is it you would want the church to kind of assist you in the comms project with? What can people be doing?
Sure. So, really, what we're trying to do is to tell the church story via these digital mediums, but as well as the notice board too. But yeah, sort of telling all of the small individual, perhaps personal stories and ministries and activities that all make up the wider church story. And yeah, it's really sort of showcasing the people behind the church rather than, you know, people might think, oh, it's a church building, but actually it's so much more than that. It's all the different things that go on. So that's the aim, really. And yeah, how could people get involved? I will be reaching out to people over time for content or mini interviews or that kind of things, or people who are involved in ministries too. But if anyone listening does have sort of a little personal testimony or something that they would like to share as part of the church story, or even just know something that we're doing as a church, that it would be great to advertise, get on the notice board or something like that, then yeah, please do get in touch, because there's so much that goes on in the life of the church that I haven't encountered myself yet. I feel like each week so many things happen, and yeah, I don't have my finger on all the pulse yet.
Brilliant. Well, I don't want to ask you too many questions because I'm sure at some point Ross will interrogate you in a formal official podcast, but thank you for being able to briefly share there. And I suppose with the serious question there, we should move on to the serious part of the podcast, the thought for the day. So Susanna, why don't you introduce the thought for the day, because it's a bit of a, not weird, but we're doing a different thing this week.
So yeah, me and Adam, as you mentioned last week, both had our first MTC talks yesterday, and we both had the same passage, Mark chapter 4 verses 1 to 20 on the parable of the sower. And so it was interesting because we both had the same passage but kind of made different applications and talked about it in different ways. So we thought we'd kind of discuss the applications that we made from studying the passage. Is that right?
I think that's where we're going to go with it, yeah. I'm glad you said application, not interpretation, because if we had different interpretations, then there might be a problem there.
So I spoke about it from the sort of point of Jesus making a call to listen. So he makes a call to listen to the crowds, but many of them don't have ears to hear. But then he also makes the same call to his disciples as well. And I was talking about how we're by nature really terrible listeners, and how hearing is actually very intentional. It's not like a passive thing. Like you can hear words, but without understanding or engaging with them at all. And so I spoke about the good soil and how actually the good soil must be maintained. Like we must pray that we remain good soil, because the good soil is like regularly weeded and it's watered and it's sent out its roots deep. I thought about what that might look like. And there's like Psalm 1, which talks about, blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. On his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season. And I said, in your sort of prayer life, I think we can be more intentional in praying for understanding. And then also I think praying intentionally for focus and patience, because we're so easily distracted. And I sort of compared it to how at university, because it was for university students, like we sort of skim through articles to get what we can out of them, just to find the things that we want. But when we come to the Bible, we can't treat it like that. It actually requires time and some dedication and prayerful meditation on the word and humility as we seek to grow in our relationship with God, rather than just sort of getting quick answers to problems. So the sort of the message was just to be, was to pay attention and be diligent and faithful in asking for better ears to hear. But that was the gist of what I spoke about. But I'd be interested to know what Adam said about it.
I definitely resonated there with the university skimming articles. When I started my project, it was very, I'll read the entire thing. Then it became, okay, abstract conclusion. I now know what this thing is on about. The way an MTC talk is you pick your audience. So Susanna there, she said she picked university students. I deliberately chose a Christian union the week before their events week, the week where an events week being where they a great effort to put on many events where the gospel is proclaimed. But I really wanted to focus in on the responses of people to the word of God that is sown. Particularly when you do an events week, the gospel is proclaimed to so many different people, and so often you don't see a response resembling the seeds on the path, or sometimes you'll see what appears to be a response, but then persecution arises or distractions of the world enter in, and as you're rocking and falling soil, and I can think of a few people where I've seen that happen. And if you're not careful, you can get disheartened. But thankfully, the parable has the fourth soil, the good soil, where the word of God is sown, it's accepted, and there's abundant fruit. And just a little encouragement to keep proclaiming the gospel, because it will bear fruit, and it may not bear fruit where we want it to bear fruit, and it may not bear fruit when we want it to bear fruit, but it is promised that it will bear fruit. And yeah, that was my, I guess, key takeaway point. So not as extensive as Susanna, but important one for us all at the moment, because especially when you do an events week, there's always a temptation to say, oh, come to this event, there'll be free food, or come to this event, it'll be a really fun evening. And you can almost just leave Jesus on the sideline, like we're going to try and sneak him in through the back door. But I think we should be a bit bolder in saying we want to proclaim Jesus to you. Perhaps for us as a church, you know, when we're telling people about, oh, come to this service, is it, oh yeah, like church is great for family and church is a really fun thing to do on Sunday, or is it, no, we want you to know Jesus, we want you to submit to him, for him to be your saviour as well. So a thought for us all, hopefully. And
great. Okay, should we move into recommendations?
We should, yes. Lizzie, as our guest, would you like to go first?
Yeah, sure. I'd like to recommend something that is very dear to my heart, and it was kind of a big part of my upbringing, I guess, as well. So my recommendation is Star Trek, particularly if you haven't seen it before, starting with the Next Generation series, which is on Netflix, which is not the original series, it's the next one. So that's where I started, and I was hooked. Yeah, I like Star Trek because they've always had this vision for the future where Earth got past poverty and war and all of those very sad things, and instead pursued increased knowledge and understanding of the natural world, or worlds in their case, and the different people and the species that they encounter. And I always thought that was really nice. Everyone was very civilized until you go to an alien planet and meet a race that does not agree with this at all, and then things get interesting.
And in our pre-recording planning session, you made a very controversial statement of Star Trek is better than Star Wars, and you said you had reasons for it. So I'm curious. I don't particularly care too much on this matter, but I'm sure there will be people listening who are passionate Star Wars fans and are right now planning to come down to Roger and Ann's and have a stern talking to you with.
Well, so I'll just release a short statement to say that I did actually say I quite enjoy Star Wars, but just that Star Trek is so much sort of closer to my heart, and I did actually say that it was superior. And I think that the reason I gave before was my main point on that, in that it is about increasing knowledge and understanding of other beings and species and planets and moving forward together rather than perhaps let's just blow that ship up, attack those people. I don't know, I feel like Star Wars is very much fast spaceship chases and lightsaber battles and stormtroopers who can't aim.
Well, the name itself kind of gives it away. If it's like Star Wars and then it's like Star Trek, like going on a journey or something.
Yeah, there we go. And there are so many different series of Star Trek. So there is actually one that is more battle focused as well. So if that's your thing, Star Trek's got it too.
I've never seen Star Trek.
Oh, well, that will change very shortly.
And I've only ever watched the new modern Star Trek trilogy with Zachary Quinto and Chris Pine, which might be controversial for you there, Lizzie.
No, we love them. In fact, okay. we watch them through regularly. We watch them at Christmas, actually. And I think my parents have watched them like last week again. Just why not?
Susanna, what's your recommendation?
My recommendation is a Christian like magazine. Like, it's an online sort of, I guess, a blog type thing called Ayres Magazine. Have either of you heard of it?
No,
it's cool. Like, my good friend from Exeter is one of the editors on it. And they basically write loads of articles sort of talking about different things happening in culture at the moment and sort of Christian thoughts on them. And they also started a podcast and they're on season 2. And my same friend, I think, joined the most recent episode to talk about unemployment as a Christian and stuff. So they talk about, you know, the very topical issues like the vaccine, you know, lockdown, all that kind of stuff, just kind of offering different discussion points and food for thought. So it's a great thing. I'd recommend people check them out on Instagram or on the website.
Oh, brilliant. My recommendation, I've also gone for a TV series, but not on Netflix. It is on BBC iPlayer. I recently watched a few episodes of Outnumbered, which just reminded me of how brilliant it is. And I mean, like, Hugh Dennis is great, but I think Karen and Ben steal the show. Like, those kids are brilliant. it cracks me up even just thinking about them now. So would recommend. And yeah, I think with that, we have reached the end of the podcast.
Okay, thanks for being on the podcast, Lizzie. It was nice to have you.
Yeah, cheers, Lizzie.
Thank you for having me.
Speak to you all soon, everyone listening. Hope you have a good week.
Yes, so do I. I really like Susanna Paul's there. Do we end? I've forgotten how to end the podcast. Okay, fine. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, everyone. Bye.